It's amazing how God will work in my life and work in my office and work in my sermon or teaching preparation. And sometimes I will get a passage, and then I can understand how the passage is unfolding. And then sometimes I'll get kind of from the passage, it really goes first to maybe a story or something that really makes me relate, because that's what I have to do. I have to relate that, and to get out of it what God, I think, wants me to have. I compare it to things in my life, or I compare it to things around me. And so sometimes God gives me something that's happened in my life and kind of shows me how this word that he's giving me out of the scripture kind of fits into, or it was evident in some point in life, or kind of illustrates the truth that he's trying to dispense into my heart. Because truly, I don't think I ever give, I'm sure that I ever never give something from here that hasn't come through my heart. And if I do, I want to wrestle with that. I don't want that just to come through my mind. I want it to come into my mind, into my heart, and then out my mouth. And sometimes we have something that comes in our minds and out our mouth. That's not a good path. Right? So I want to be stronger in my mind. I want to know God more, but then I want to love God more too. And so I want that combination of things. So I want that. And so he does that. And sometimes he gives me just a word, just a simple word to really just dive in and say, what does that mean? What's the meaning of this word? And that's kind of the way it went this week. I had a word. I got this word and I couldn't get it out of my mind. I said, God, what do you want me to do with this word? And that's, I'm not talking a word, okay? I'm just talking about a four-letter word, not and a good four-letter word, okay? And the word was that he's just given, is give. And so I started to unpack that word, give, and it says to put into possession of another for his or her use. To hand it over is kind of the phrase that goes with that. So to put it in someone else's possession for his or her use. It's to give. And I find that we say that a lot. Give me that, or give me, or give, I need this, or it's been given to you. And in Christmas time, I received gifts, and somebody gave me a gift, and they put it into my possession for my use. And I find that very interesting. They kind of hand it, more or less when a mom is saying to a child, give me that, they're basically saying, hand it over. Because it's not in your hand for use, okay? So there's a hand it over type of thing, and then they're placing it in your hand for your use, for his or her use is the definition of give. And this could be a temporary thing, right, or a more permanent thing. If you were to give me a hand up, if you're going to help me up, you're going to give me your hand to help me up. You're not going to literally give me your hand. You're going to reach out and you're going to grab a hold of me and you're going to help me stand up. That's a temporary giving, but you gave it to me. You gave me a hand up. Now, if I'm going to say, well, I was given an education, that's a permanent thing, right? That's something that's in my possession that's permanently there. And I need to, it's in my possession to use. And I find it interesting in giving it so we can use it. It's not just given so you can store it. It's given for the purpose of use in your life and in my life. Well, we use it, what's been given to us. These temporary things. If Justin wants to give me a hand up, well, I receive that. Well, I take his hand and him able to give me that. And somebody wants to give me $100, or somebody wants to give me an education. Will I receive that and will I use that to the greatest value? Am I making sense today? So giving, there's two very repeated statements in the Bible, and it's this: it's but God and God gives. I find that out. I've studied the but gods in the Bible, and all of a sudden it's everything's up to this point, but God, boom, shows up, boom, something happens. The word that, you know, there was no creation, but God spoke and it happened. And there was no way for the Israelites to get off in front of the Egyptians, but God, and boom, the waters open. Goliath, mocking the armies of Israel. But God showed up in a young man named David, and he defeated that giant. But God showed up over and over and over. We see, but God does something. And I see, as I continue to unpack, God gives or God gave. God gives and God gives. Now, wait a minute. If God gives you something, he puts it into your possession. I don't know if it's long-term, permanent, or temporary, but he puts it in your possession for a use. So I find that very interesting. That he's giving you something. He's giving me something. And so as I started to wonder about that phrase, and God gives or God gave, what are the things that he gives or he gave? Some of the things, I got to say it again, some of the things I think are more temporary things. And we'll talk about that maybe in the future. And some of the things are very permanent things that he gives us that are not going away, that are not just for this moment of use. Because I think God can give us healing and yet we'll die again. We'll die. And so I think that the healing that he gives us is more of a temporary thing, because frankly, I don't want to live forever. Not in this vessel. I'm going to live forever. I don't get a choice in that. But I don't want to be in this vessel, so I don't want to be healed forever, right, in this physical body, because I want to be absent from this body so I can be present with the Lord. So that's a temporary thing that God gives me healing, and more permanent things that he brings into my life. Dozens of times these statements are made in the Bible. God gives, God gives, God gave, God gives, God gave. You should do it. You should just do a little research on God gives and God gave, God gives and God gave, God gives. Oh, I mean, you and I don't have a wheelbarrow big enough to haul away the groceries that God has given us. And he's put in your possession for your use, whether they're temporary or whether they're permanent. They've been put in your possession for use. So what are those things? And we can make a list maybe of 25, 50, 60, or 500 things. I don't know. And I started to make a list of all those things that God has given us. And I'm like, what one is more important than the other one, God? And God says, what? I want to get the first thing first. And he said, if I gave it to you, it's first. If I gave it to you and it's permanent, it's first. If I gave it to you and it's temporary, it's first. There is no numerical order of what I'm giving you. It's all important. So I want to unpack this over the next few weeks. I want to unpack this phrase, God has given us. What has God given us? In no special order, because for that reason, I don't think there is an order of importance. Because if God gives us, he's never given us the leftovers. He's never giving us out of the bottom of the barrel. He's always giving us out of himself. So these are not in order. But I want to start today as something that God gave us. Listen to what he says in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:11, and it was he, God, who gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. You see what's happening there? He said, I'm going to give you something. See, this is not where you thought I would start. Well, God, give me eternal life. We're going to get there. Not today. We'll get there. See, that's a permanent thing. We'll talk about that, because that's crucial, all right? And there again, I'm trying to organize in the highest level. There is no high level in God's world. So he said, wait a minute, I want you to know something. I gave the church, I gave God's people, right, to prepare God's people. So I gave apostles, I gave prophets, I gave evangelists, I gave pastors, and I gave teachers to prepare God's people. So God's people, I, you, us, have been given those offices or those people in our life. Why? To prepare us. I'm giving you this. Because I want you to be prepared. So I'm going to give you the apostles. I'm going to give you prophets. I'm going to give you evangelists. I'm going to give you pastors. I'm going to give teachers to God's people. You got them. I'm giving them to you, God says. I'm giving them to you. He gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people. You know what the word prepare means? It means to mend, restore, and strengthen. It's the same word as used when they're mending their nets. They're mending. They're preparing their nets. They're mending. So what? To mend, restore, or strengthen. Why? Because we need to be mended, restored, and strengthened, apparently, or God wouldn't give it to us. Yeah, so now I'm going to use that, those offices or those people that I'm going to bring into your life, Ed. I'm going to use them to mend you. I'm going to use them to restore you. I'm going to use them to strengthen you because you need mended. You need restored and you need strengthened because I got a job for you and you need this. Please receive it and use it. Because I want to mend you. I want to restore you. I want to strengthen you for works of service, he says. For works of service, or works, or energizing, or services to carry out the command of another. So I want to mend you and restore you and strengthen you through what I have given you, through the prophets and the apostles and the teachers and the pastors and the evangelists. I want to restore you. I want to do that because I have works of service. For you, commands I want you to walk out. See how that's fitting together? And you need this in your life. This is where I really wrestle with. I got my own thing going on with God. God said, now wait a minute. If you've got your own thing going on with me, you don't need anyone else, then why did I give you apostles? And why did I give you prophets? And why did I give you evangelists? And why did I give you teachers? And why did I give you pastors? My own thing going on with God needs to go out the window. We ain't got our own thing going on with God. And all that we need from God comes through that relationship. It comes through what he puts in front of us, what he gives us. You got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not doubting that. But we need what God has given us. And God is giving us these individuals in our life. Am I making sense today? Because I want you to be mended, restored, and strengthened for following my commands or working out your salvation or moving along with me or being the light in the world. We just say, and darkness, boom, here comes the light. That's you, he said. But I need to mend and restore and strengthen you. I need to prepare you for works of service to following the commands of God, not the following the commands of the apostles or the commands of the prophet or the pastor, the evangelist or the teacher. That creates a cult. It's the commands of God. So we got this receiver, we got this giver, and we got this given. The given comes from the giver into the receiver's life. And he said, I'm giving you this so I can mend you, so I can restore you, so I can strengthen you, so I can prepare you for works of service so you can walk it out with me. Verse 12 of that same passage says this. So that, the reason I'm doing this is so that this will happen. You want to know why? Why are you doing that, God? I'm going to give you that so that, listen, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith. He said, I'm doing this so that the body of Christ can be built up, so it can be strengthened, so it can receive wisdom, so it can receive holiness, and even the word numerically, so I can grow my body numerically in wisdom and in holiness and in strength. Why are you doing this? Because I want to build up the body in Christ. I want to grow the body, and I'm going to use you to grow the body. And there's people that I have given you so that you can get strong and you can live out your faith and you can follow the commands of God so that what? So that the body is built up. So the body is strengthened. So the body receives wisdom. So the body receives holiness. So I, as the body, receive holiness and wisdom and strength. That's why I'm doing it, he said. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith. So we're all walking in the journey. That's beautiful stuff. Because I want us all to walk. See how God's heart? Because I want all of us to walk in the faith. I want us all to walk and be built up and walk in the faith. I want you to have a faith journey. And I'm going to give you this so you can have a faith journey. So that you can walk it out. And look at this. And in the knowledge of the Son of God. I want you to know this God who has saved you. I'm going to give this so you can be mended, restored, and strengthened. So you can walk it out with me. So you can know more about me. And more about me. And more about me. And more about me. So you can have a faith journey. So you can walk out your faith journey. So you can walk out your faith journey. So you can know more about me. And become mature. And you can grow up in your faith. And attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I just think that simply means this, that you become like Jesus. You become Christ-like. Hang with me here. I want to grow and become like Jesus. And he said, no, wait a minute. All the way back here, I want you to do that too, so I'm going to give you something so you can do that. Because I want to mend you and strengthen you and restore you and enable you to walk in the path of God so that you can be built up. So that you can attain, so you can walk with Jesus, so you can walk like Jesus, so you can be Jesus on this earth. Am I making sense? God gives apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and pastors to assist us in becoming to assist us to become people who are being mended and restored and strengthened, people who are carrying out the commands of God, people who are being built up, people who are growing in Christ, and people who are like Christ in the here and now. That's what he's doing in our life. Continuing in the passage. Then, I love it, so then, I can figure those out in the Bible. I'm doing this, so that'll happen, then this is going to happen. I just love it. Let me do this. Let me give you something. Let me tell you why I'm giving that. Let me tell you what's going to happen. And then let me tell you the then part of this. Watch. Then you will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. Instead, because if you're solid in me, you're not going to fall for everything that's out there. Your faith is not going to be wishy-washy. You're not going to lose faith every time some challenge comes to your life. You're not going to give up. And you're not going to fall for teachings or anything else. Watch. Instead, is speaking the truth in love. We will, in all things, grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, growing, grows, and builds itself up in love. And as each does its what? Part. Isn't that beautiful? So then you're going to be growing in Christ. You're going to be growing in Christ. You're going to have an unwavering faith. You're going to be dispensing love, truth, and you're going to be working together. I find this very interesting and that, wait a minute, I'm going to give you something so this will happen in your life. I don't want this. Then how do I get this? I want to walk on my own, but I want this anyway. And God said, no, wait a minute, I give you this so this happens. And then when this happens, this is going to happen. And when this happens and this happens, then this is going to happen. God, I want this without this. You can't have that, he says. So the part of the job of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor is to be active in mending, restoring, strengthening, empowering, motivating, building, growing, stabilizing, inspiring, and moving people. Some of us will fit into that category of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, and teacher. And I'm going to say perhaps at any one time, maybe any of us would fit that position. That God is calling us to do that. Calling us to come alongside of someone to mend them. Calling us alongside of someone to strengthen them. Well, I ain't no pastor. Maybe you am. Because God says, no, wait a minute. I'm going to use pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles to mend people, to restore people, to strengthen people so they can follow God, so they can follow out what God wants them to do. And then they're going to become like Christ. But I'm calling you. I'm putting the call on your life. And granted, I know I have that call in my life. So I do fit into that category. And I have people that fit into that category in my life. And some of you are those people that fit into that category in my life. They're speaking into my life. At times, I am the one who's listening to the prophet. Because I need to hear what the prophet is saying. Because what the prophet is saying is what God is using to mend me, to restore me, to strengthen me, so I can walk with God more vibrantly, so that I can walk it out on this earth and be like Jesus and bring dark light to a dark place. I mean, are you with me today? I don't know about you, but I wrestle with that. God, that's a big job. And you have given that to the body. You've given that to people. You've given that even to some parts of this world, or you wouldn't give evangelists, right? You've given that to the world. I'm going to give you an evangelist. Someone who can tell you about Jesus and how to get into a relationship with Him. Some of you are there. I'm going to make the argument at times we're all there. How are you going to fulfill that call on your life? To be a prophet, to be an evangelist, to be a pastor, to be a teacher, to be an apostle. So where do we begin? How do I do that? How do I help someone do that? I'm just going to answer for myself now. How do I help someone else do that? How do I be the prophet at times? How do I be the pastor at times? How do I be the teacher at times? How do I be that? Okay, we're going to talk later on down the road. How do I receive that? But today, how do I do that? God, you're using me. You give me to the people. You give me to this world. How do I do that, God? That's a big job. If you're not feeling that's a big job, then you ain't feeling. God says, I'm going to use you and you and you. I think an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher must love God and thus love people. I think that's a given. If you don't love God, you don't love people, because people aren't that lovable. They just, we're not. We're cranky. We're opinionated. The only time it's really easy to love someone is like the first week and a half you married them, or that you met them. Oh, man, I drive through a snowstorm to get to your house. Then you get married and you're saying, this person's not easy to like. So I think we do need to love God, because we won't love people. I think that's a given. But now, okay, God, now where do I go from there? How do I go past that? How do I get to the next stage that I know I need to love you, God, and love people, because right now I don't care about people. You're going to be rough. It's going to be rough for you to be in the pastorate at any one time. And God's going to put you there at any one time if you don't love God, because you won't love people. It's going to be hard to pastor people you don't love. I think the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher must pray and love and speak truth. Absolutely. Because if we don't pray, if we don't love, if we don't speak truth, then it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in someone else's life. You need to do that for people around you. I need to do that for people around me when God calls me into that role. Absolutely. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher must help increase our, I'm going to call it BQ. Not BBQ. I'm going to call it BQ. See, I think I need an increased BQ, like IQ and EQ. I need a BQ. I need an intelligent quotient, right? I need an emotional quotient. Well, quotient is a particular degree or amount of something. I need Bible quotient. I need a BQ. I need to grow in the Word of God. I need to grow in the Word of God. I need to help individuals, and so do you, when you are playing that position that God has given you to someone who needs to be mended. Someone who needs to be restored, someone who needs to be strengthened so they can walk it out with God. They need the Word of God to do that. They need a BQ. They need to rise up in their BQ. They need Bible. They need the Bible, not just to memorize it. The Bible needs to have them, and they have the Bible. We need to help them. Someone in men's group said last week, they said this, the Bible is starting to make sense to me. That's increased BQ. When the Bible starts to make sense to you, you're growing in BQ. I'm telling me, if I had a mirror, I'd look at it right now. I need to help people get to the Word of God. I need to pray for people. I need to love people. I need to love God. I need to hug on people. And I need to come alongside of people. But if I don't have the Word of God with me, then I'm just giving them a very temporary thing that's not going to last. Because it's God who's going to work in them. And He does that through His Word. I need an increased BQ. And so do every one of us need an increased BQ so that we can grow in our faith. So we can be mended. So we can be restored. So we can be strengthened. So we can walk it out with God. As a pastor, and some of you are, and some of you will be, and some of you are going to be, even this day, are going to come alongside, or you're going to get a text, or you're going to get a call from someone who is upside down in life. I'm telling us, we need to take them to the Word of God. We need to let the Word of God speak into their life. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not if you hear Ed's voice, but if you know the truth. We've got to take people to the Word of God. Not beat them over the head. Not scream it from, you need this, whack, whack, whack. See, that's where love comes in. If I'm not loving people, then I'm just whacking people with the Word of God. But can we take people to the Word of God and increase their BQ so that they can grow, so they can be mended? So they can realize in Psalm 55, God takes the battle out of you, not just you out of the battle. That is power. I need an increased BQ in my life. The world will measure your IQ and more lately, your EQ. Because it really doesn't matter how smart you are if you're very, very fragile. In your emotion, it's going to be troublesome. I want to start measuring BQ. Because listen, 2 Timothy says this, for all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man, the woman, the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's it! That's walking out your faith. But it's the Word of God who's doing that. Are you quicker to give somebody your opinion about a situation or take them to the Word? Well, I know what I would do in that situation. Yeah, and the last time I did that, I ended up dressed in orange. But can we take him to the Word? Push the button, please. Can we take him to the Word? Can we take him to the Scripture that is God-breathed? Do you have a working knowledge of the Scripture? Where would you take someone? Where would you take someone that is wrestling with something of life? Do you have those in your arsenal? Do you have those in your pocket? Are they your go-to bullets? Or do you just kind of not answer the phone? Or do you give an opinion? You're not sent here. Listen, I got to be honest. Ed, you're not sent here to give your opinion. You're here to be used to restore and to mend and to strengthen people so that they can walk with me, God says. You need to get them to the Word. You need to help the Word get into them. Look, just let me read a few of these from Psalm 119. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Why? Because the footsteps are directed by the word of God. I'm going to direct your footsteps by the word. I care about you, man. I care about you. God's saying, I'm going to direct your footprints, your footsteps. I'm going to direct them. I will walk about in freedom because I have sought God's precepts or his word. Word gives freedom. Just a couple more. Let me throw them out here. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. It's not going to go away. See, the best thing you can do for your son or your daughter is help them be kids and teenagers of the word. Because the word's not going away. Someday you're not going to be here. But if you created this word hungry, we just sang the song, I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for you. God says, come get me. Come let me show you who I am. To all perfections I see limit, but your commands are boundless. What I like about that, well, what if this situation, God's word speaks to that. Well, what about this? It speaks to that. It speaks to that, and it speaks to that, and it speaks to that. Well, it doesn't speak to today's thing. It speaks to that because it's living and active. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I hung on to that one for years and years and years. Even the knotheads can learn. That's what that one says. I can remember going into Bible class and say, God, you give understanding to the simple. In Jesus' name, here I go. I'm not the sharpest tool in the box. But you promised you would give understanding to the simple. And here I go. Push the button. I just threw this one in there just because sometimes surgery hurts. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. See, the one number one problem we have with the word of God is it messes with us. You got stinking thinking, it's going to point it out. You got old stinking thinking, you're just going to point it out. So I'm coming into your life. He's gave some to be apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. Why? So they can mend and restore and strengthen God's people. Why? So that they can walk with God, following God's command, working with God. Why? So that they can be built up in holiness and numerically in strength. Why? So they can become like Jesus. Why? Because this world needs Jesus. Let the Word of God do surgery. Let me give you just four things, just in the ending. I got one more page of notes. Hang on. As you spend time in the Word, ask these four questions. These questions, I think, will increase your BQ. Here's the application. I say all that to get to this point. I could have cut this 40-minute message in 8 minutes. Aren't you glad? Question number one. Ask this as you read the Word of God. Ask this. Ask this question. It's not all four questions. This is sub-questions to the one question. But just ask this question. What is the passage saying about God? Every time you read the Word of God, I don't care if it's a 23rd Psalm or if it's something brand new out of Leviticus. What's it saying about God? Because you know what? The number one thing that the Bible is to tell you about God. Now, it's not a rule book. We change it into something. There's guidelines. There's rules and regulations in the Bible. But the number one goal of the Bible is so that you and I will know God. So ask, what is the passage saying about God? What are the characteristics of God that are being revealed? What name of God is being used? What is he doing? Let me just throw up here John 3:16. For God so loved the world. What do we know about God? He loves us. See, as you're reading through that, don't read through that quickly. Just and then make a note. God loves me. That he did what? He gave. There it is again. See, his love is manifesting something. So he gave you something. See, if we can start studying the scripture that God loves me and he gives, can you imagine a living, a loving, giving God? Already, just from one sentence in a passage of scripture, we know we got a loving, giving God. That's why I want to help us understand the Word of God. Just ask, what is this passage saying about God? Number two question is this. What is the passage saying about you, us, mankind? Listen, I'm saving you $8,000 of taking hermeneutics, which is the way you study old documents, right? Which the Bible is one of those documents. You learn how to study the Bible. It's good. You can take a hermeneutics class online, hermeneutics 1, hermeneutics 2. Some of you have taken those here. Let's not wait till we take a hermeneutics. Ask what the Bible is saying about God. Ask what it's saying. What's it saying about me? Let's go back to the John 3:16 passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What's it saying about me so far? Yeah. I have ability to perish. See, that's what I would... See, I start to say, wait a minute, he's giving me something. God, this loving, giving God has given me something because he doesn't want me to perish. That means I'm perishable. I'm lettuce on the eighth day. All right? We're not talking raviolis on the eighth day. Lettuce. I can perish. I'm perishable. But this loving, giving God wants to do something in his human's life that is perishable. I don't want you to perish, but I want you to have everlasting or eternal life. Question number three. What is the passage saying to do? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a command to follow? Is there an invitation to take? Is there a praise to give? Is there a correction to make in my life? What's it saying to do? But see, don't start there because if we start there, we're turning the Bible into a rule book, not a giving from a loving God. So let's go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So what do I need to do there? I got to believe. See, if you start writing down, I got a loving, giving God that doesn't want me to perish, but he's inviting me to believe. See, already you're starting to unpack some of that and saying, what does all that mean? And then watch God unpack that as you glean that from the scripture. Question number four. What is the passage saying to avoid? Please. There is a faction of people out there that would start with this. If we start with what God wants us to avoid, we're going to think he's a mean ogre, not a loving, giving God. But But he's going to tell us who we are. Because this loving, giving God wants to give us something, but we need to realize who we are. And then he's going to give us something to do, believe. And then he's going to give us some things to drive around, things to avoid. And they're not all in every scripture, right? So John 3:16 is not, it didn't work. But listen to Romans 12 as I look at this. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What do we know about God? His will is what? Good, pleasing, and perfect. And he wants to give it to you. But what does he want you to avoid in that passage? The patterns of the world. He gave some to be apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets. Why? To mend and restore and strengthen God's people. Why? So they can walk with God more vibrantly. Why? So they can become like Jesus. How do I do that? How do you do that? I believe we love God so we can love people. We pray, we love, and we speak truth. But we need to get people to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what's going to set them free. So ask the questions. Every passage you read, what's it saying about God? What's it saying about me? What's the passage saying to do? What's the passage saying to avoid? And watch what God does in your understanding of the Scripture. Stand with me today. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these moments. God, I thank you for the Word. I thank you that I know that these words were spoke to people like Nicodemus. God, I want us to know, and I want people to know, the people that you're going to put us, the prophets in this room, the teachers in this room, the pastors, which I think we're all going to be there someday. And are there any one day we're already there? And you're putting us in the road with other people so that you can mend them, restore them, and strengthen them so they can walk with you. Help us to be men and women of the Word so that when you call us to action, we can love them, we can speak truth to them, we can hug on them, and we can give them the Word of God. The very breath of God that'll do amazing things in our life. Father, thank you for these days. Thank you for this day. Thank you for what you're going to do in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.